Good afternoon. It's just Paul today, and I'm going for a walk by myself, which is something that I have not done in a long time, and certainly not recorded it in a long time. Back when we lived in Saginaw, this is a thing I would do all the time. For some periods of time when I was under extreme stress, I would record my walks every morning, like for a few weeks, I think. I did a countdown to the solstice where I recorded every day. We lived in a downtown area with sidewalks. We call it an inner ring suburb, I guess. It was in the city proper. And on Adams Boulevard, there was a nice long stretch of street to walk down. And I could do laps, basically. And I could walk a few miles in the morning before work. Some of these became a series that Some of these became a series that I called Morning Valediction of Monologues. But, anyway. I'm recording this not so much in the hopes that anyone in particular will get anything out of it, but as a record and an opportunity to sort of focus my own thoughts a bit. So, did I probably give the date already? It's Friday, it's April 3rd, 2020. Let's see. I haven't really left the house. I don't think I've driven anywhere or been driven anywhere for nearly 3 weeks. I think the last time I went out was 3 Mondays, 2 Mondays ago. So anyway, it was the Monday when I was told that I was being furloughed from my job, and that was my last day. That evening I went out with Grace to my office, and we picked up some things from my office, including a plant that I wanted to bring home and some of my personal books and stuff like that. And then at that point we were basically, well, from that previous, like it had been a Friday a week before that, we had been basically on lockdown of a kind. I had been working from home and not really going anywhere at all. I don't remember the dates. I don't really remember the dates, but it's been a long time. And it's much has happened in the world. So I've done 2 podcasts with Grace since this all started. This week, it's starting to feel it more, I guess. The deaths are starting to become significant. The height of the exponential curve is becoming really disturbing. I don't even know where we're at. And I don't trust these numbers. I'm wearing my Vibram 5 fingers, and this was a bit of a mistake because I'm walking on a dirt road that's covered with sharp chunks of rock, and these soles are not really made to handle that. Well, we'll see how it goes. So we were, it's been about 3 weeks since we got groceries. With the exception of a couple of boxes of things that were delivered, we got some shelf stable, or at least long lasting, packages of bread. It's like this German fitness bread that's packaged up and lasts a long time. We have canceled those orders. We were trying to order it like a couple different types and stagger them, weekly deliveries, so we were getting a box a week. That was Joy's project. She had an order from Amazon. Grace and I have been boycotting Amazon for a number of years now, so, you know, it wouldn't have been our choice to do it that way, but she's trying to help, and it's been very helpful. But Amazon's really blowing this and really harming their employees with their practices and firing people for trying to organize unions. So we're not like even in our duress, we decided we're going to cancel that order and not support Amazon anymore, even for that. So we did just get a box from a company called Imperfect Produce. I think that's Imperfect Foods. I don't even know for sure what it's called, but it's produce that is like scarred up, not suitable for the public to buy when displayed at Whole Foods or whatever. And actually, it looks great. It's all fine. There's nothing wrong with any of it. I was very impressed. So we're getting some vegetables that way, and I think we're going to continue to get vegetables that way every week. They have other food, but really that's what we're short on right now, is veggies. Also protein, so we're starting to run short on our stocks of frozen meats. Even though we don't eat a huge amount of meat, you know, steak is a rare treat kind of thing. And we don't buy ground beef ever. But we very often have meals that are like made with broth, rice made with broth and or butter, sometimes both. and sometimes things like black-eyed peas with a frozen ham hock. Sometimes like a curry, like a curry dish that had some country ribs cut up in there. So we'll do that a few times a week. We'll augment a dinner dish with a bit of meat. We've got teenagers, and it's a little difficult to get everyone eating enough protein entirely from rice and beans and things like that, especially when most of us don't eat any form of dairy most of the time. I'll eat a little cheese. We've had a little cheese, but it makes the kids sick. So we don't keep a lot in the house, and it's almost all gone. I've also been trying to basically use this opportunity to do like the intermittent fasting that I've talked about before in my newsletter and whatnot. But for the last few days, I've been pushing it a little too hard. So like yesterday, I was kind of bad off because I had only tea, and then got towards in the afternoon, the kids put some potatoes in the Instant Pot, and I had just like a boiled potato with salt and pepper and a little bit of butter mid-afternoon, and that just collapsed my blood sugar. Like, I was shaky and dizzy and just like, no good. So I can't, it basically reminds me that I have figured out the way I need to eat that keeps me feeling good and strong and able to deal with stress. And it involves more than I think most people's usual quantity of fats. I'll have eggs. I haven't had eggs in several weeks. That used to be my go-to breakfast out, but we're not doing that, so no eggs, and I really miss them. It's kind of messed up my diet to not have eggs. We would do a bulletproof coffee. I would get the fat from fat and protein from the eggs, or we would do a bulletproof coffee and I wouldn't need to eat for a number of hours for breakfast, which has a huge amount of butter and coconut oil in it. I also have been having some of this, like a couple slices of this German bread, like toasted, and then with butter and peanut butter or nut butter, and that would keep me, that's a lot of fiber, it's full of seeds and nuts, it digests slowly, it has a fair amount of protein with the peanut butter or whatnot, so that would keep me going until dinner if I had that for breakfast. So anyway, but yesterday I kind of screwed it up and realized that I haven't been paying enough attention to what I've been eating, like planning it out, you know. So I have to plan that out just a little better. We'll probably go out to look for food, gloved and masked and all that, on Monday. Monday afternoon, we're trying to find off-peak hours at the Costco and stuff like that. So there it is. It's a while to wait, but I want to get some more proteins that we can, you know, we're not getting steaks. We hear that there are meat shortages in a lot of stores because people are stocking up, or probably stocking up more than they need to for the short term, like per week or per 2 weeks, which could be a problem for us. We still have tons of rice. We have like, we probably have 75 pounds of rice, short grain brown rice. And it's really good. It's Lundgren short grain brown rice. Soaks up broth or whatnot really well. Nice and chewy, nutty flavor, great with just about anything. We need more steel cut oats. Yeah, I have to watch my carbs. If I have carbs, they have to be something slow to digest, like steel cut oats or you know, whole brown rice in the Instant Pot. And I have to make sure that when I eat carbs, I also eat a fair amount of fat. Otherwise, my blood sugar crashes badly. It's sort of the opposite of diabetes. Hypoglycemia. But I'm trying to figure out how much weight I'm losing. I need to look at the last paperwork I had from my doctor's office. But it could be, as much as 20 pounds so far. I don't know for sure. So last Monday I weighed myself and, is that true? When was that? I'm losing track. Anyway, I have it written down. I had lost, I think, 10 pounds, and I know I've continued to lose weight. Some of my pants are just sagging. But it doesn't, you know, doesn't matter all that much because I've been wearing sweats every day. So anyway, it's being at home round the clock is hard on me. It's hard for me to adjust. It's not the programming of like being out of the house to work at least 8 hours is sort of encoded in more than just my brain. It's like encoded in my body, you know. My body feels like things are wrong if I'm not, like, working at a computer on weekdays. So I'm trying to figure out some regular stuff that I can work on while still trying to be extra support, more so than usual, for the kids and the household. And it's a tough balancing act for someone who's really quite introverted and really gets very stressed out among kids making their usual noise and chaos in the evenings especially. So I'm trying to navigate that. This is why I wanted to go for a walk by myself today. I just wanted to sort of sit with my thoughts. So, in a sort of formal scheme of things, where do things stand? No word on how things are going at Thor Labs, my employer, or whether it's still anyone thinks it's still possible that they will rehire the engineers from the Ann Arbor office that they laid off. I have been approved for unemployment, but I haven't gotten a payment yet, and we quarantine our mail, so it was in quarantine for a few days, 3 days, but yesterday I got it out of quarantine, and there was a document from them demanding that I prove my identity, that I verify that I am the one who applied online. And so I was kind of in a panic because they wanted a passport. I don't have a valid passport. It's long since expired. I don't even know if I can put my finger on the old one. Or Michigan driver's license, and either as a program, I want to put parentheses around the ands and ors to make it clear the order of precedence. Either a birth certificate or a original social security card. I wasn't sure I could find my birth certificate. It's not something I've had to dig out in a long time, but I was able to find it today. It was in one of my files of papers in the storage room. So there's that. I'm not sure where my social security card is. It's probably in a similar place, and I really need to try and find that. But yeah, anyway, they want you to fax it. I'm like, that ain't happening. Yeah, a few years ago when I had to fax stuff for the state for job applications, I had an online account. I was paying briefly for an account with a fax service thing where you could send them PDFs and they would fax them, or upload them images and they would fax them. Yeah, we don't have, and receive faxes too. And actually I used that service to get some old information off an Apple Newton that had fax capability. That was the only way I could figure out how to get some of these like mixed documents sent. Couldn't really email them in a format that I was getting email out of a Newton before using an old pop account and some sort of updated software. Anyway, it's not important. I'm rambling, but in both ways, this is called I'm taking a ramble. Anyway, faxing. Yeah, like, so they don't have any facility for sending them a scanned images or for doing the kind of digital signature thing that you do when you, like, sign a mortgage or do transactions with your bank, need to fill out a form or something. Most of them can just have you use something like DocuSign, I think service is called. And just, you know, you do some kind of digital signature magic and they accept it as good enough. So, no, they don't have anything like that. They're way behind in technology. So the alternative is to mail it, which meant that I had to get my scanner working and see if I could make images of my driver's license and birth certificate. And fortunately, that still worked. The scanner software is old and weird. I bought it in, you know, it's the scanner's from 2008. But it worked. I'm not sure. I was afraid it wouldn't work right under my current Mac OS X. And I might have to go looking for, like, an upgrade or something for the... But it worked. So I got that. I got all that bundled up and mailed. My verification scan of my driver's license and notarized copy of my birth certificate. I've said this, probably told this before, but the document that I had used for years as a birth certificate was a hospital birth certificate, which is not a state-issued birth certificate. So I was carrying around a notarized copy of the hospital-issued birth certificate. Dated 1988, so I must have needed that back in college at some point. And I have the original now since my mom died. But that doesn't count. So I was applying for a passport in 93, maybe. I don't even know. Early 90s, very early 90s. I had to request from the state of Washington a notarized, unofficial copy of my birth certificate. And that's what I have. So that's what I sent them. And this all has to be due, this all is due by the 10th, next Friday, which makes me very nervous. I wish I had taken that out of quarantine earlier, but we're trying to save our lives here, so I didn't, but I really hope it gets to them, they accept it and process it, because we need money. So yeah, just okay, so to put everything in perspective, we're pretty well off right now, compared to so many people, because I had just received a federal tax refund and we had not spent that much of it. I spent some portion of it on things like, I got some free weights, you know, a few hundred for this and a few hundred for that, but most of it had gone into the Team One account or been set aside to cover gardening expenses. And there's still a chunk of that which we want to go ahead and spend because we're trying to get our garden up and working. Our gardens, beds, plural. What am I saying? Okay, so we had some money. We had a little extra money, more than we usually have, when the shit hit the fan. I received one more week's pay with an extra day tacked on. That was it. I didn't get my paid time off paid out or anything else because I was not actually terminated. So basically, the day I was told I was being put on furlough, that was my last paid day. So, anyway, so the next day I immediately started contacting everyone we pay money to, the biggest one being Wells Fargo, trying to get our mortgage payments suspended. They were very slow to respond. But eventually told me they would give us like 90 days forbearance or something. What that means is they won't start foreclosure proceedings or report it as late or on my credit report or charge us late fees. However, it just extends our mortgage and all the interest is still accumulating and will be dumped on and probably in a rather large lump. So we'll be essentially going backwards on our mortgage for a while, which is a horrible feeling. I'm hoping something better comes along, right? Hoping some kind of interest forbearance or even just, you know, mortgage payments are covered by the federal government for everyone forced into losing work due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So, I also contacted all the other, like, two credit card companies, and Team One being one of them, and also contacted them about our consumer loan, and we're on forbearance on all these various bills. They're all suspended in the sense that, again, they won't hit us with late fees or et cetera, or report us to credit agencies for 60 to 90 days, but no word of anything at all, how anything at all is going to function past that. I'm not actually looking for work. I have gotten a couple of people contacting me about, hey, would I take a remote job as a database administrator or whatnot? And like, let me think on it, because I don't want to do badly at a job that a friend of mine tried to get me, you know? And I'm not interested in database work. It's not my area of specialty. I haven't done database work in a long time. So, anyway, tried to suspend basically every payment we possibly could. I just got a text saying that our automatic withdrawal for our cell phone bill is suspended. I don't know how long I can have them suspend it before they go on, babe. Go on. Go on. Go see your mom. Go on, Otis. Go on. See you later. No problem. Anyway, I'm so used to being accosted by dogs and I'm out walking that it barely fazes me anymore. So, Otis's mom is trying to get him to go for a walk. He doesn't want to. So, where was I? I'm not sure how long I can pay for I'm not sure how long I can suspend some of these bills. Some of them just would not shut it off. Like, I was supposed to call like the day before it was due or something like that. I guess I'll for our energy bill. And, you know, I guess I'll do that. But it's just a lot of... It's a lot of mental work and anxiety to try and, like, be looking at all these bills laid out into the future with zero income since my furlough day. And try to figure that out, and try to figure out what I'm going to do about it. So, not even sure what road I'm on. Some of these are private drives. I don't think I'm on a private drive. But maybe I could be. I do see other people out walking, biking, driving, etc. just for kicks or to walk their pets. So it's encouraging, but mostly it's pretty damn quiet. I wanted to come out because it's nice and sunny. I think I need a little vitamin D. I should have been taking vitamin D capsules, but this is homemade stuff and it's probably better. So... let's see. So I started on an open source project. I'm going to adapt some ideas that have been kicking around in my head for a long time on how to write a simplified, more robust version of the Skippy, a simplified version of the Skippy instrument control protocol, and I'm gonna do it by basically is going to be a library of code that is designed to run on small micros and use data from EEPROM or Flash. And it will look up bytes as they come in a command, and those bytes will be the characters will be looked up in a pre-sorted compressed try structure that I will generate off the micro and load it onto the micro, probably into EEPROM. You know, I'll start with testing in RAM, but yeah, anyway, that's the idea. And basically the open source Skippy implementations that I've looked at that are supposed to be basically all I've been able to find, they're okay. They're really designed for PC implementation. They expect you'll have a whole, like, they expect you'll be able to do memory allocation. If you can't, you can build it to do its own allocation, but it's still doing allocation out of a fixed, like, memory block or something. And it's just, it's overkill for what I want. I'm running on a very small micro. It works, but it's using up too much code space. And it's also, I'm not going to say it's really buggy. I'm going to say that it's really easy to crash it and get bizarre behavior out of it. Bizarre, unexpected behavior. And it's not even clear what the expected behavior is, because the documentation and samples don't actually show realistic use cases of the different features. So someone wrote it to use for a project, and they maintain it and use that project, but it hasn't been properly, like, I'm gonna say, in my opinion, hasn't been properly documented and vetted and, like, arranged to use in a different, you know, for other people. So I'm going to try and do something simpler and more humble that is optimized to run on small micros. It's going to delete a lot of features that I never use and don't need, in favor of being compact and easy to test and using up less flash space for code and less memory at runtime. So how's that? It's called remotely controllable, and I've barely gotten going on it. That's part of what I'm trying to do is, okay, I need to keep my brain busy. Let me keep myself working on something that's visible each day. And since I'm forbidden from working on any Thorlabs projects, I'll work on this and I'll make it an open source project. And conveniently enough, if I am rehired by Thorlabs, I'll be able to use it to improve this open source project to improve our application code. How nice. Thorlabs will not have paid me to work on it, and I will not have worked on it with any Thorlabs equipment other than my brain, which they do not own per se. And Skippy is an open standard. It's not proprietary. So, there it is. That's what I'm trying to spend time on each day, but I find myself getting, let's face it, obsessed with politics and the news instead. Go figure. As well as nervously obsessing about our money spreadsheets and how we're gonna get by. And you know, it's really far from just me that I'm, and our family that I'm concerned about. This is, I've been trying to figure out like what's likely to happen in the long term. Let me see how much time I've used. Okay, I've still got a lot of recording time, but I'm trying to figure out what this means for the future, like where this is going to go. I've been very, very aware, basically all leftists, people who consider themselves to be radicals, radical leftists and intellectuals of any kind, which is how I identify myself now, that our country was broken, you know, deeply, deeply broken. And we've been long hoping to, I've been long hoping to sort of like downshift into a more localized life, you know, a less expensive, less expansive life. When we moved to Saginaw, I hoped that I could do remote work and consulting gigs that would pay for our life there. And we really were sort of, the only thing is in Saginaw, I never found a community of any men that I could understand or relate to in any way, you know. Almost no one. And when I did, they would tend to move away because everyone's still leaving. So I just never formed any ties there to anyone outside our immediate family, extended family, with Grace's family. But that was about it. So yeah, so I always felt working in isolation was, you know, go figure, very isolating. I never really got a routine down as far as finding consulting gigs. Most employers just, despite all the articles and rhetoric about remote work, most employers were just basically didn't want to allow it. They weren't interested in managing it. They weren't interested in managing it, and they didn't want to, they didn't trust employees enough, even after years of service and years of contributions, to allow it. So, you know, when my one job went with, electronics, okay, Jesus, starting to fade, went south. It's very difficult to find any other work that I could even consider support, would, you know, even remotely pay for the cost of supporting my family, even in a place with dirt cheap real estate, right? But not just paying our mortgage, but like maintaining the house and fixing it up, you know. With no community, it just constantly felt like this lonely burden, you know. And no coworkers to ever see, right? So Yeah, I did consulting gigs for a little while. I worked at Dow for a little while. But that just wasn't sustainable because of the lack of work. So we're here now. And I had high hopes of, after we finally sold our old house, which took 2.5 years, I had high hopes that we would basically be now gradually getting ourselves into a much improved financial situation, despite having a very expensive mortgage, right? Like more than twice our old one. That I would be able to put more down on it, like pay the principal down. I'd be able to like put money into the house and in the gardens and all this. That basically I would have discretionary income, extra income that I could use, you know, to make us more secure, right? And such that even if I lost my current, well, it's furloughed job, I could actually take something that paid less and still be okay, still be fine, you know. But then this pandemic came about, and companies were not ready. They were not at all prepared. The federal government was not ready. Not at all prepared, maliciously underprepared, managed by vicious morons. And the response is still pathetic. The response is still horrifying. I mean, genocidal. I was just reading today about the proportion it affects of COVID-19 on blacks compared to whites and Hispanics and all this, and it's horrifying. This is real, like, race war shit. This is like, what is that novel, The Turner Diaries level shit going down here. Basically, a huge portion of the population can't afford not to die from this. And so far, we've been able to afford not to die from this, but it's a real big open question as to where this goes after the next couple months. It's going to take at least another 3 weeks to receive food benefits. I don't know when I'll get a first unemployment check deposit, you know. Just don't know. Hey, I see some of my kids out walking. So, Joshua and Sam are out walking, and Sam is carrying baby Malachi on his back. He's such a mensch. He's a good brother. We've been trying to get the kids out in groups to go out walking every day with their younger siblings. About this time, they're actually a little late, so that Grace can get started on cooking. Hi guys. Hello. Hi guys. Okay. Many days they fight us and are very slow and late to get out. But it's happening. Starting to settle into a routine. Starting to settle down a bit. So, what was I saying? Who am I? Who are you? Where are we? I'm so grateful for a nice day with a little sun. I'm supposed to get out and assemble some garden beds. I'm probably going to do that tomorrow. I was going to try today, but I got caught up and was just so nervous about getting these documents out for unemployment. Well, I got that out. What my fear is that, you know, there are like 5 million people in Michigan who've been filing over the last, I don't know, probably not 5 million, but over the last couple, 2-3 weeks, hundreds of thousands of people in Michigan are filing unemployment claims. It's like blown up all previous records, and it's just completely off the charts, and they're just not prepared to handle it. So I am hoping that somehow they can actually process the paperwork quickly enough that I meet the deadline. Of the 10th. I don't want to miss that deadline because they had the paper in, you know, a giant bin, but didn't process the verification paperwork quickly enough, and so the system kicked it back out as a rejected. And I suspect that's actually a distinct possibility. So I could have sent it by fax or mail, or I could have driven to, they call them the special problem resolution offices. There's a URL in the letter that I got. If you go to, and it says, look under this tab or whatnot. If you go to that URL, it redirects you to a different URL that doesn't have that tab or any, or that text nowhere to be found. So I had to Google some other resources, some other web pages not provided or generated by the state of Michigan to show me supposedly where the nearest problem resolution center is for me to like take the paperwork in person. And surprise, surprise, it's in downtown Detroit, like just yards, I think, from the I don't know, it could be, I'm not sure it's exactly nearby, it's close to the downtown, used to be called Cobo Hall, the convention center where they are setting up, where the Corps of Engineers, I guess, I'm not sure, has set up a mobile field hospital for COVID-19 cases. Overflow from the hospital system already melting down without PPE and without enough ventilators to keep people alive during this. So I don't really want to go there. no matter, even in a homemade mask, you know. I don't think that's a good idea. So I just am hoping that this works out and I actually start to get payments soon. I suspect a clusterfuck. I suspect I'll get bounced out of it and told I can reapply in 90 days or some bullshit like that. Just a clusterfuck. And then, you know, I can try and appeal the decision and they're like, well, we didn't process your paperwork in time, or it wasn't postmarked in time because the mail is piling up because postal workers are ill or whatever. Anyway, I probably should have risked contamination for our household to pluck that piece of mail out of quarantine early and give myself an extra 3 days to handle it. But I didn't, because I'm trying to be as cautious as I can reasonably be. And I judge that dealing with written paperwork from the unemployment office was less critical than actually keeping our family free of COVID-19 infection. I hope I was right. So, I'm coming up on an hour. Basically, I've been on one road. I just walked like to Crane Road, like almost to the end, and I turned around when I ran into the dog. But still been on Crane Road. It's probably, I don't know how far that is. I'll have to look on him. I didn't remember where the cross street was or I turned around. I should look on a Google map or something. See how far that is. So it's like some, like, calibrate my walks. Coming up on an hour. It's such a beautiful day out. I think we just got mail. And so I don't have gloves with me. But do I want to try and handle it, carry it back, put it in quarantine, and then immediately wash my hands? I don't know if I can do that safely. So maybe I'll ignore it until tomorrow. Maybe I'll peek. I don't know. Paranoid or not paranoid enough? I'm actually kind of terrified of going out grocery shopping. Not so much on my own behalf. I suspect I probably could survive an infection, because I could immediately, if I'd suspected that I was infected, I could immediately start quarantining upstairs. And I know that as long as Grace is not down with it herself, which she probably would be, but, you know, that we have lots of vitamins and broth and other things to help charge up my immune system. But I don't want to find out, because I'm hearing from, you know, people that this is a devastating illness, and it can have long-term effects on your body, even if you recover. So we really want to be as cautious as we possibly can, not just as like it seems reasonable, but like it should seem unreasonable. And we're still watching the death rate double every 2 or 3 days, the number of deaths double every 2 or 3 days. It doesn't seem unreasonable to me at all to take fairly extreme precautions. So, there we are. Wearing a really ripped up, ratty, tie-dyed t-shirt. So, I probably don't look like a respectable neighbor to any of our neighbors. It doesn't look like the mail came because the flag is still up, even though I saw a mail truck up here. So, probably there's no mail anyway. Really hoping to get this. It's only going to Grand Rapids, right? I could practically drive it there. But I'm not going to. Although it might be nice to get out for a brief road trip. Anyway, I think we're putting together shopping lists. I really wish we had our food benefits arriving now, because then we could spend that money next week instead of our digging into our savings, which is what I'm going to have to do. But anyway, we're going to try and do a major grocery day like every 2 weeks. And I think we're going to go on Monday, believing that maybe is a lower traffic day, but we might call Costco and call GFS and say, when is low traffic? So, given that we can't buy WIC stuff anyway, we shouldn't be interfering with anyone getting WIC stuff. So, hopefully we'll be getting WIC stuff before long. That could do a huge amount to preserve our cash, the cash we have on hand for the short term. Okay, I'm gonna shut this down. I don't know if I'm gonna post this or what I'm gonna do with it, but I hope you all are staying sane. I think this is like, today was the day when I felt like it was really starting to damage my sanity. It takes a long time. I'm very patient, but starting to get to me. So, yeah, and of course every twinge or cough or sneeze or feel, is that a runny nose, you know, or is that a, what do I feel, whatever. We're like, oh my God, do we have it? We have been almost completely isolated, but, you know, Joy has run out. She ran out to try and meet up with some people she's arranged to meet up with to pick up a sewing machine, and she had, like, laid down the law with them on how they were supposed to stay, you know, 10 feet apart and just, like, not touch anything and, you know, at least, I don't know what she said, but completely no contact, like meeting and drop off stuff and pick up stuff, like take it out of the car, set it down, get back in the car, I'll come and pick it up with gloves on, put it in the back of my car, we'll wave to each other and that'll be it. But they, like, apparently came out all bubbly and, you know, friendly and, like, just not seeming to show the slightest concern for getting close. And she was really pissed. And I don't blame her. She's 60-something. She's the one in our household who's most likely to die if she is infected. So we're all trying to keep her safe too. Anyway, back home. Yeah, Grace is like, I'm dizzy, my heart's racing. Is this anxiety? Or am I sick? Like, no one's sure. So, and, you know, I've been having on and off tachycardia and whatnot for weeks. Okay, I hope you all are well and sane, and that we all, as many of us as possible, get through this. I love you all. Goodbye.